The title of the sermon is The Lord Hides. I invite you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Father, what a thrilling Sabbath school and church we've had to this moment. And we want to thank you for being with us in answer to our prayer. And now, Lord, as we come to the sacred desk and open your sacred Bible, we pray for your Spirit to move on our hearts and minds so that we can even more clearly see Jesus and hear him than before. Lord, I pray for the peace of heaven to rest on this congregation. Take us from our worries, our trials, our stresses, our tensions, so that we can concentrate and see that we have a God in heaven who is just indescribable and exactly what we need in these last days of Earth's history. Now use me in spite of me, Lord, and show yourself to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Every fall, the following tragedy unfolds across the world. Houses that were built with great effort are obliterated in an instant. Food that was prudently gathered gets scattered and lost in the wind. Parents helplessly watch as their children are run over while other children are left without parents. It sounds horrible, doesn't it? But you'll never read about these tragedies in the newspaper, although it always happens everywhere in the United States. That's because it is happening to field mice. Field mice. Mice often take up their residency in the farm fields thinking it will be a wonderful place to live. The tall wheat stalks provide cover from predators, refuge from the wind, and an ample supply of food. So the mice build homes there, gather food, thinking that the field belongs to them. They have their children and do the things that mice do as a family, never giving up, never worrying about the thought of the rumbling tractor they hear in the distance. Boys and girls, you see the mouse on the stalk of wheat? They never suppose that tragedy will overtake them in one day. And life as they know it will come to an end in an instant with one pass of the harvester combine. And folks, I feel that nothing could describe more fully what it is like today in this earth in which we're living and what's soon going to transpire on this planet. So I invite you to take your Bibles, if you would, and turn with me to Zephaniah, the very first chapter. And by the way, can you find Zephaniah? I hope so. You should know every book of the Bible, even though our Pathfinders can recite that song or whatever. I don't. I get all mixed up. But I do know where Zephaniah is. I put a bookmarker in. Zephaniah, the first chapter. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to follow along. I want you to know that these three chapters that make up the book of Zephaniah are some of the darkest verses in all the Scripture, folks. Zephaniah, three chapters. And we're going to look at it today as we look at the theme called The Lord Hides. The Lord Hides. You got it? All right, here we go. The word of the Lord which came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, and the son of Gedaliah, and the son of Amariah, and the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, son of Amnon, king of Judah. Wow. By the way, there's something very significant here. First of all, the word, the name Zechariah means this. Zephaniah means the Lord hides, the Lord has hidden, the Lord has concealed, the Lord has protected, the Lord has sheltered. That is the meaning of the name Zechariah. I wonder if, I keep saying that, Zephaniah. I wonder if you're like me, that when I saw this, that it means the Lord hides, that it almost sounds like the Lord is going like this. And then I read the three chapters in Zephaniah and discovered that isn't what it means at all. And it's a glorious message, folk, in one of the darkest books that are in the Bible. The second thing I want you to notice is this. This is the longest genealogy any prophet wrote. He would say, I'm the son of so-and-so. And in some cases, it's I'm the son of so-and-so who's the son of so-and-so, but that's it. But I want you to notice here that he talks about four of his previous relatives. And there's a reason for that. Because I want you to notice the last name. The last name there, Cushai, Gedaliah, Amariah, Zephaniah, happens to be the great-great-grandchild of Hezekiah, who was king of Israel, which means that this is one prophet who was in the royal family. So he knows the situation. He knows the politics. And so let's dig in to the book of Zephaniah, verse 1, chapter 1. We'll start with verse 2. Follow along and catch this. I will utterly consume everything from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will consume man and beast. I will consume birds of the heaven. I will consume the fish of the sea and the stumbling blocks along with the wicked. I will cut off men from the face of the land, says the Lord. I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off every trace of Baal from this place, the name of the idolatrous priest with the pagan priests, those who worship the host of heaven on the rooftops, those who worship and swear oaths by the Lord, but who also swears by Milcon, those who have turned back from following the Lord and have not sought the Lord nor inquired of Him, be silent in the presence of the Lord. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited guests. And it shall be in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes and the king's children and all such as are clothed with foreign apparel. And the same day I will punish all those who leap over the threshold, who fill their master's house with violence and deceit. Pretty dark, folks. I want you to look really quick, verse 1 and 2. Do you know in the great flood, the fish were not killed? Do you notice here that Zephaniah says the fish will die too? And then he goes on to say, in verse 3, the fish of the sea and the stumbling block along with the wicked, the stumbling block, idolatry. Verse 4, Baal. Baal in the land of Israel, folks. Give me a break. And it says the pagan priest and the idolatrous priest in Israel and those who worship the host of heaven. Are you kidding me? And then it says in the bottom of verse 5, it says, but also those who swear by Milcon. Do you know who Milcon is? Milcon is another name for the Ammonite god called Moloch, that the Israelites would bring their children and sacrifice them to the idol. Those who have turned back from following the Lord. I couldn't believe it. And he said in verse 8, he says, in the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the princes and the king's children. By the way, remember, Zephaniah is one of the king's children. This would be some of his cousins he's talking about. And all such as clothed with foreign apparel. That one really made me stand up, folks. You know what that means? Those that dress like, act like, adorn like the world and not like God's people should. In Israel. Devastating. It's dark here, man. Verse 14. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and alarm, against the fortified city and against the high towers. I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood shall be poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuge. Folks, have you ever read Zephaniah before? Did you pay attention? I'm looking at this and going, whoa! I mean, the very second verse says, I will utterly consume everything. We see why, too. Well, you know what? It goes on here. We got to look at this. It goes on. And we see that Zephaniah chapter 2 adds some people to this. First of all, chapter 2, verse 5. And I'm skipping 1, 2, and 3, 4. And I'm going to 5. It says, woe to the inhabitants of the seacoast, the nations of the Cherethites. The word of the Lord is against you, O Canaan, land of the Philistines. I will destroy you. The Philistines were the enemies of God's people on the west. And then we're going to go second chapter to verse number 9. And it says here, therefore I live, says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel. Surely Moab shall be like Sodom, and the people of Ammon like Gomorrah, overrun with weeds and salt pits, and a perpetual desolation. The residue of my people shall plunder them, and the remnant of my people shall possess them. Folks, Moab and Ammon were on the east of Jerusalem. And then we're going to look at chapter 2, verse 12. And here's what it says in 12. You Ethiopians also, you shall be slain by my sword. And guess where Ethiopia is in terms of where Jerusalem is to the south. And then we continue to look at chapter 2. And by the way, I'm skipping all these verses, but in between it's all devastation, darkness, gloom. And then verse 13 says, and he will stretch out his hand against the what? The north. I'll destroy Assyria. I'll make Nineveh a desolation as dry as the wilderness. Folks, north, south, east, west. Now, in terms of understanding the Old Testament, we have to see that he is warning the people that Babylon is soon coming and is going to destroy north, south, east, and west, literally everything in that area. But you see, we must apply this to the last days. The last days, it means the whole world. The whole world. That's what the book of Revelation means when it says nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Do you know how many times in the book of Revelation it repeats that phrase? One of the times is when it says, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to all those who dwell on the earth, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. But in the other places, it's a reference to the rest of the world. I will destroy them. Could you ever have guessed if you never really looked hard or noticed that Zephaniah is really a dark book? It's scary. You know what, folks? It fits the day in which we're living. In fact, let me read verse 18. It's on the bottom here of the slide. You can all see it, of chapter 1. Chapter 1 ends with this. Neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the what? The fire of my jealousy, God said. For he will make speedy riddance of all those who dwell in the land. What a God, man. He's fiery. Scary stuff. You know, the fire of my jealousy is found twice in these three chapters. I never had this thought before, but it dawned on me. Ultimately, the fire of his jealousy is the lake of fire. How interesting it is that the rest of the Christian world believes that you're going to go to heaven or hell, and if you go to hell, you're going to live forever. You're going to burn, but you're going to live forever. And the Bible doesn't teach that. Instead, the Bible teaches that at the very end, out of mercy and love and kindness, God puts the rebellious soul person out of their misery. The lake of fire comes down, the Bible says, and devours them. Wow, did you know that the book of Zephaniah was this tough? But yet in the book of Zephaniah are some of the most beautiful verses. I want to show you one right now. Let's go back to chapter 2, 1, 2, 3. Look what it says. See if you can pick up on this. Gather yourself together, yes, gather together, O desirable nation, before the decree is issued or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon me, upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth. In fact, let me say, take off your foreign apparel. Who has upheld his justice? That's who I'm looking for. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. And then in these dark verses all around these three that I'm reading, it then says, it may be you will be what? Hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. That's what we want. Folks, the Lord hides. He hides His people. He protects them from all this devastation, all this sorrow, all this violence and anger. Are you struggling with what's happening around you? I want you to know the Lord is a refuge and a strength. Zephaniah so beautifully, his name means the Lord hides or the Lord protects. And then we get to verse 3, and here it says, it may be that the Lord will be, that you will be hidden by the Lord. Hidden from all the effects of these things. We can't lose heart, folks, as we see around us such horrible sin and things transpiring. Not only that, how many of you are struggling with things you know you shouldn't do or think or watch or eat or taste or well, where you know you shouldn't, but you do because I like it. Foreign apparel. God wants to hide those who will stand up for Him in spite of what's going on. And when you're hidden, you're protected. In fact, the one psalm that I think of is Psalms 91. That's amazing. The Lord hides. The Lord has hidden. The Lord has concealed. The Lord has protected. The Lord has sheltered. Friends, tell me, who did the Lord hide? Say, me. Who has the Lord hidden? Me. The Lord has concealed me. The Lord has protected me. And the Lord has sheltered me. What hope, what encouragement, in spite of the fact that the Lord is well aware of all the violence and of all the temptation, all the evil, all the wickedness around us. You know, I'm becoming an advocate to stop watching the news at night. You sit there and you listen to who was murdered, how many, what their age is, and where. Every single day. Murder, knifings, senseless acts of violence. The only way we're going to endure the wickedness which is going to be ramped up, folks. Listen, as the Holy Spirit is withdrawn on the wicked, do you think it's going to get better? No, it isn't. We must be hidden in the Lord. We got to cast our lot with Him. We got to quit seeking the foreign apparel. We got to quit worshiping the Baals. We got to stop sacrificing our children to Milcon. Hey, listen, I'm going to go off on you. I don't want anybody to get mad, but I'm telling you. When you send them to public school and not church school, you're sacrificing them to Milcon. Not that the public education isn't good for what they stand for and what they believe, but because they don't have the spiritual element, it is not true education. It is a worldly education, preparing them to rip off whoever they can to get higher and more exalted, and so forth. I know this is hard, folks. I can't help it. You know, Zephaniah didn't care. Verse 2, I will utterly consume everything. These pagan ideas have slipped into all our lives and all our houses, and we're all struggling in some way with it. What do? We got to be hidden in the Lord. We got to let the Lord hide us. Take a look at chapter 3. The last chapter of the book of Zephaniah, 16 and 17. I love this. Remember the dark book? How dark this book is, folks? In the day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear. Zion, let not your hand be weak. The Lord your God's in your midst. The Lord is in your midst. The Mighty One will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. Folks, He's rejoicing over us with gladness as we're struggling here to allow Him to help us overcome. Now, I'm not done yet. This is unbelievable to me. He will quiet you with His love. You know, to me, quiet you with His love is a reference to give you peace that only God can give. And then I want you to picture this, folks. I want you to picture God will rejoice over you with singing. I mean, when I get to heaven, I'm going to, I'm here. Oh, thank you, Lord, I'm here. And there's Jesus going, Peter, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Well, maybe he won't sing. I don't know what he's going to sing. It says, He will rejoice over me with singing. Here's my motivation for trying to overcome. Here's my motivation to hold on to Adventism. What the Bible teaches instead of what the world teaches. It's He's going to rejoice over me with singing. If He's going to be singing to me, that means I'm special. We got to hold on. Let me show you how. I'll take the next slide. I want you to turn to Exodus 33. For some reason, mine won't advance. Exodus 33, everyone. I want you to turn there. As I close, by the way. But I have something for the children. I want the children to get ready. I got something special for you. Exodus 33:19. You should know this story. Moses, who got to know God so well by spending all that time with Him, 40 years in the wilderness, on the mountain, 40 days, he got to know Him so well that he got bold enough to say, God, I want to see Your glory. Can you imagine asking God that? Folks, He is going to sing over me and you with song. Moses realized, this is the kind of God I serve. I want to see Your glory. And so here's what God said. Then God said to Moses, I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to those I will be gracious. And I will have compassion on those I have compassion. But He said, you cannot see my face. No man shall see me and what? And live. It's impossible in a sinful condition to see God fully and not die. And the Lord said, here is a place by me. I love that. Folks, don't miss these words. By me, not away from me. By me, and you shall stand on a rock. Wow, that's Jesus, the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I'll cover you with my hand while I pass by. Why is He going to cover us with His hand? So that we don't die. His job is to preserve our life. But He will show us as much of Him as is necessary to encourage us to hold on and not let go. Yeah. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. The Lord hides. Wow. Matthew 23. Children, are you ready? Matthew 23. I got a couple slides for the children here. They're going to laugh. Matthew 23. The culmination of His final speech to the Pharisees, in which repeatedly He calls them hypocrites, blind guides, fools and blind, because He's trying to reach them before they crucify Him, which is in a couple days. And then He says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wing, but you were not willing. Children, look at this. Okay, children, are you ready? It's coming. Now, All the children in the congregation, I want you to look at that picture and tell me how many legs that chicken has. And then I want you to divide it by two and tell me how many chickens are under that mother hen. And man, and even when they get bigger, she tries really hard. Our God wants to put us under His wing. Do you understand how under His wing is a crucial part of His anatomy? He doesn't say, okay, line up behind me or get off to the side or remember who I am and be careful, don't touch me. No, come under my wings. I'm going to care for you. And so, my friends, in the book Zephaniah, which is really dark and really evil, the Lord hides. He hides us. He conceals us. He protects us in the midst of a horrible, terrible storm. Well, I want to show you this picture, these two little boys. If you look out the window, you'll see country. In fact, it looks out over a field, and behind is wood and a beautiful creek. And one day, Sam and Roland and Jenny and I in Cedar Lake, Michigan, were eating breakfast when all of a sudden, Samuel, the young one who's ever alert, saw a mother goose and her goslings walking in a straight line, by the way, I couldn't find a straight line, to across our field right next to our house to get to the woods and go into the pond that leads to the lake. And before I could even say, look, Sam got off his chair, went out the door, came around the side, and I see him running full speed straight for those little tiny chicks. And when he got to a certain location or proximity to those chicks, all of a sudden, the mother Canadian goose went berserk. It's amazing. I'll never forget. They actually lower their neck. You know how their neck is like this. They lower their neck and they open their beak and they open their wings and came flying right towards Samuel. I have never seen Samuel turn around so fast in my life. And I promise you, he was back in the door faster than he went out that door. Children, I wanted you to be impressed because this is who our God is. And yes, He requires us to follow Him in line. And sometimes He takes us where we don't want to go. But He does it to protect us. And then when anything comes near, a predator, an evil, anything bad, He goes into action. So the next time you read Zephaniah, which means the Lord hides, I want you to know the Lord hides you because He loves you. Father, I thank You. I thank You for being the personal, intimate, loving, patient, thoughtful God that You are. Even though we've had moments where we have portrayed You wrongly, differently, You still don't turn Your back on us. And I pray You help us to remember the Lord hides us. And that no matter what is going on, even in our own lives, You're with us. You're not leaving us alone. And we will get through whatever it is we're facing. Father, help the Paradise Church to be the kind of people You want us to be. And show us how to take off the foreign apparel. How to turn from the Milcons and the Molechs and the Baals and all the other images and idols that have been set up in this world and especially North America, and instead see our God hanging on the cross of Calvary so that we could have salvation. May decisions be made for You in this congregation right now. And then give us the Spirit so we can follow through and be as faithful to You as You've been faithful to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.